this week. We're hosting it, and there's a lot that needs to be done. We have stuff that has to be brought from both campuses on Easter Sunday morning. If you would like to join here, help them load things up in order to bring them over, and then bring them over and help them just get the final things they need to put into place, they'll meet here at the East Campus at 7 a.m. Actually, I'm talking about Saturday morning, not Sunday morning. All right, it's good that they write. Now I know why they write things out for me. They've learned over time. He didn't get that right. So they're meeting at Saturday morning to go in to set up the TCC for Resurrection Celebration. They're going to meet here at 7:30, and they're going to meet at the West Campus at 8 o'clock. So if you could go to either one of those, the more people we get, the quicker we can load things up, the quicker we can get them unloaded, and the quicker we can get them set up, and the better it is for the staff. This is obviously, because we do Resurrection Celebration, one of the busiest times for the staff at the church, even though for me, it's like a vacation because I only have to do one teaching. So with that said, your Bible's open to Leviticus chapter 14. Let's pray. Let's talk about leprosy. Father, we want to again approach you with hearts that are right. We remember that in the book of Isaiah, there were those that were drawing near to you with their lips, but their hearts were far from you. And Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees, rightly did Isaiah speak of you, that you draw near to me with your lips, but your hearts are far from him. And Lord, we don't want to be that. We want to be those who serve you and love you and who lay everything down, who give everything to you, serving and following you with a radicalness in our lives. And what comes out of our lives and where our faith comes from, we want that to come from a relationship with you. And so we draw you close to ourselves. We look to draw near to you, that you would draw near to us, knowing that if there are areas that you are not pleased with, that you will work them out. Out of that relationship with you comes that transforming power. We pray that you would bless this time of Bible study today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Chapters 13 and 14 in the book of Leviticus are long chapters. And they are chapters that tell us, or them, how they were supposed to deal with leprosy. And leprosy is a wide range of illnesses. The word for leprosy here not only means what we know of as Hansen's disease. Named Hansen's disease for the doctor who kind of discovered it and nailed it down in 1873. There still is leprosy. Leprosy today is curable. In the days that the Bible was written, it was not curable. Leprosy today is curable. Today around the world, there's about 180,000 people that have leprosy. There are still leper colonies in China and in India. More and more leper colonies are closing as they're now able to take this very debilitating disease. One doctor said that leprosy was like dying by inches. It's a bacteria, a microbacterium leprae is the name of the disease. And after the infection, it gestates between 5 and 20 years. So it's very difficult to pin down where you get the bacteria that causes the leprosy. By the way, people do get leprosy in the United States, but only in Southern California. So I don't know what that tells you. I thought it was just kind of funny. Actually, in Hawaii as well. So in Hawaii and Southern California, there are cases of leprosy that arise in the United States. Well, once it's identified and it has sores, it begins with sores that usually starts at the tips of the fingers, your ears, your nose, your toes, and the sores are deforming. They will cause your fingers, your toes, your nose to be deformed. It can also get into your joints. It kind of moves up into your joints, which deforms the joints of your hand, much like a severe case of arthritis can deform joints. Leprosy deforms it. One of the things that leprosy does is it attacks the nerves. So not only are there sores that begin, oftentimes it's just a white sore on the tip of your finger or the end of your ear or your nose, but it also, you lose feeling. And so there's been the idea that leprosy just caused fingers to fall off and hands to fall off and feet to fall off and legs to fall off, because when you go to a true leper colony. There's so many that are missing hands and feet and fingers and noses. But really, that's not really what happens. What happens is that the nerves in your hands and feet and nose are deadened. So you don't know the damage that you're doing to your skin until it's already done. And then you can imagine being impoverished and living in a leper colony, and that things aren't sanitary and clean. It caused infections. The infection with the sores, with the infection of leprosy itself, as well as some other kind of bacteria infection, cause infection, and you end up losing hands and losing feet because of that. So it's a combination of the two. It's not just like a foot that gets infected. It's the actual leprosy in combination with the infection that takes place. Once you, you know, pick up something sharp and don't realize it and you cut yourself, or you pick up burns are often the case. We touch something and immediately there are nerves that tell us, duh, that's not good. Don't hold it. But if you have leprosy, you grab onto something, you don't know it's hot. And maybe even if you do know it's hot, after a while, it doesn't hurt. She's got to pick it up. It's like, yeah, I burned myself. I can see that I burned myself. Well, burns get infected very easily. It can take up to 20 years for someone to finally die from leprosy. You'll eventually die from it. It will eventually go all the way through your body. It is a very slow and painful death. There are 40 different mentions. The Bible mentions leprosy 40 different times. We find it in the Old Testament. You remember it was one of the signs that God gave to Moses that he was sending them to the Egyptians. You also remember that there was Naaman who came to be cleansed from that leprosy by Elisha. And he was told to dip himself in the river. He didn't want to do it because the Jordan River is like this little bitty river. And he said, aren't there great rivers from Assyria where I come from? And you've sent me here to dip in this Jordan River. But he did it. And he was completely cleansed. And in the story of Naaman, we find something that I believe that the Bible does with leprosy. And that is we find a comparison of sin to leprosy. Naaman went to the Jordan River and he was to dip in it 7 times. Again, he's upset. He was going to leave and not do it. And his servant said, had the man asked you to do some great thing, you would have surely have done it. But he asked you to dip yourself in a river and you won't do it. And so Naaman went and took off all of his armor. He was a general, a Syrian general. He went and he took off all of his armor and he went into the river and he dipped down in the water and came up and there was no difference. He dipped down again and came up and there was no difference. He dipped down again and came up and there was no difference. I wonder if he was tempted to leave after the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th time. But it says that he dipped down into the water and he came back up and his skin was like the skin of a baby. He was known as old baby skin from then on out. God had touched him and healed him by dipping in the water 7 times, which is a symbol of baptism, which is a symbol of the forgiveness that we have on the cross. And everywhere that leprosy is used in the Bible, it's actually used as the word clean and unclean. Where other diseases that are used, the word sick and healing are used. When you get leprosy, you are unclean. And we've seen that here in the scriptures, uncleanliness is a type of sin. Here in Leviticus, uncleanliness is a type of sin. So when you were healed of leprosy, you went and you showed yourself to the priest. The priest would declare that you were healed and then you were clean again. So that leprosy in the scriptures is a type of sin. Well, sin is very destructive. Sin often starts out as a little spot, not too concerning. And just as leprosy deadens the area, sin, our feelings are deadened by sin. The first time that you sin in a particular area, there's a lot of grief and there's a lot of guilt and there's a lot of shame that goes along with it. But the more that you do it, the more the guilt and the shame and the grief leave. And that which God placed inside of us, which is guilt, God gave us guilt so that we would know that this is bad. God gave us nerves in our fingers so we could reach out and touch something and know that's hot. Let me get away from it. So God gave us that guilt so that we would know, being involved in it, that it was bad, that it was going to hurt us, that it was destructive. And giving into sin brings destruction. That's what the Bible says. Sin is deceptive. We think, I'm okay with this. I'm all right. I got control of this. When you don't have control of it, and sin will end up destroying you. It's not only deceptive, it will end up destroying you. But it does it slowly. You've been going in your life now. You've got sin in your life. You're kind of just moving along. And you're thinking, well, I'm a Christian, and I've got this sin in my life, and it's okay. I can go on with this. It's all right. Nothing's happening to me. Yeah, it is. It's just happening slowly. And it is deforming you spiritually. And sin will eventually bring destruction. The Bible says, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? That's a good question, isn't it? Next time you sit around a campfire, think of that Bible verse. Could you just reach down there and take those coals of that fire and bring them up into your lap? Would you even think of doing that? No. Can a man do that and not be burned? Nope. And a man can't bring unconfessed, unrepented sin into his life without being burned. The Bible says if you sow to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. You think, I've got it, it's okay. But you're sowing those seeds to the wind and you will reap the whirlwind. The Bible says that which is done in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. That's why it's better now to deal with your sin, to confess it before God, to receive the forgiveness, to battle against sin, to take your thoughts captive. And the best way to battle sin is to get close to Jesus. The best way to battle that leprosy of the soul is to get close to Him. When you're close to Him, then He works those things out of our lives. When we abide in Him and His word abides in us, we'll ask whatever we desire and it will be given to us. That's the best battle against sin. You say, well, I'm struggling with lust. I'm struggling with pornography. I'm struggling with alcohol. I'm struggling with greediness. I'm struggling with stealing, embezzling. I'm struggling with covetousness. I just want more. This is an area, and I don't know how to get rid of it. And I've tried to get rid of it. Have you ever been there? Can I say, is there anybody here who hasn't been there? We've all been there, haven't we? The way you get rid of it is by getting close to Jesus. You draw near to Him. You walk with Him. You talk with Him. You interact with Him. You do what you have to do to get close to Him, and you'll find that the desires that you have will change. You'll find that when you're tempted, He gives you the ability to overcome that temptation, to take those thoughts captive, because otherwise leprosy, that spiritual leprosy, gets into our lives and brings an ultimate destruction. James tells us that each one of us is tempted when we are enticed by our own desires. And that when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. That's what sin does. The birth of sin is when we are enticed, when we are enticed. And then when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. Sin is deceptive. It tells you that that's what you have to have. You're not going to be happy unless you have that. You need to be fulfilled. You've got to have that. This is what you need. That's what sin's deceptive. Sin is destructive. And sin brings death. The 3D printer of this Bible, the 3D scriptures. The spiritually is deception, destruction, and death. That's why we battle against sin. That's why we have to battle against sin. If we don't, then it will affect our lives. The Bible says that you were not made for immorality, but your body was made for God, and you belong to God. You don't belong to immorality. You belong to God. And God uses your body. The glory of God abides in you. And your body, for 1 Corinthians chapter 6, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And inside of you, the glory of God dwells. And there needs to be a battle for righteousness. There always needs to be a struggle against the flesh. Paul said, the spirit struggles against the flesh and the flesh struggles against the spirit. That always needs to be there. I wish we could be delivered from it before we leave this earth, but we won't be. We will battle it until the day that we die, but we need to battle it. I like what Greg Laurie says. He says, some of you guys don't struggle against sin, you just give in. There's no struggle with sin. You just get tempted and you just sin. But for all of us as Christians, there needs to be a struggle taking place that we would give God righteousness and purity. And God is such a loving, tender, forgiving God. Now, having laid that all out, not wanting to take as much time as I did for that, let's turn now to the leprosy that we find here in Leviticus. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has a skin, when a man has on the skin of the body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of the sons, the priests." Again, not all of these leprous sores are Hansen's disease, or what we know today as leprosy. You could just get an open sore on your body. If that were the case, you were to go to the priest, you were to have it checked out. If the open sore healed, then you were declared clean. Once again, God is taking them through the wilderness. He's going to bring them into the promised land. He's told them that in the promised land, you are not going to have, if you do what I command you, you are not going to have the diseases of the nations around you. He talks to them about sanitary conditions. He talks to them about their food and what they eat. And he talks to them now about the concept of, without saying it, the concept of germs and how to handle diseases that are caught. And if there was a sore that was a leprous sore, in verse 3 it says, the priest shall examine the sore of the skin of the body. Again, not a doctor, but a priest. And if the hair on the sore turns white, and the sore appears to be deeper in its skin than the body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair is not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore for 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the seventh day. And indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine him again on the seventh day. And indeed, the sore, if the sore has faded, and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees that scab and indeed spreads on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. When the leprous sore is on the person, then he shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the swelling on the skin is white, and it has turned the hair white, and there is a spot of raw flesh, it is swelling. It is an old leprosy on the skin of the body. The priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall not isolate, and shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. And if the leprosy breaks out all over the skin, and the leprosy covers all of the skin of the one who has the sore, from his head to his foot, wherever the priest looks, then the priest shall consider, and indeed, if he is leprous, if the leprosy has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean who has the sore. It has all turned white. He is clean. So it's just this healing process for leprosy that takes place if it turned white. By the way, they're not really sure whether or not the disease that they're talking about here is Hansen's disease. There are diseases that men used to struggle with that are no longer around. There are new diseases that men never had before that are here now. So some suggest that this is Hansen's disease, and others say, no, it doesn't have all of the earmarks of Hansen's disease. Maybe it was Hansen's disease that has changed over the years to become what it is today, as bacteria is prone to do, to have certain kinds of changes. So perhaps that's the case. But they're not sure it is actually Hansen's disease. Verse 18, if the body develops a boil in the skin and is healed, and in the place of the boil there comes a white swelling or a bright spot, reddish white, then it shall be shown to the priest. And if when the priest sees it, it indeed appears deeper than the skin, and its hair has turned and his hair has turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leper sore which has broken out into a boil or on the boil. But if the priest examines it, and indeed there are no white hairs in it, it is not deeper than the skin, but has faded, then the priest shall isolate him for 7 days. And if it should be all spread around the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. By the way, leprosy today is fairly hard to get. It's not an easy disease to be able to transmit, but it is a scary disease. You see someone with leprosy, and you would want to get as far away from them as possible. Verse 23, but if the bright spot stays in one place and has not spread, it is a scar or a boil, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. Or if the body receives a burn on the skin by fire, and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a bright spot, reddish white or white, then the priest shall examine it, and indeed, if the hair of the bright spot has turned white and appears deeper than the skin, it is leprosy, broken out on the burn. Therefore, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leper sore. You getting all this? So you guys, if when you're priests, you can be able to go and examine people? Have you guys checked out completely? All right, verse 26. But if the priest examines it, and indeed there are... Oh, verse 27. And the priest shall examine him on the seventh day. If it has all spread all over the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leper sore. But if the bright spot stays in one place and is not spread on the skin, but has faded, it is a swelling from the burn. The priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is a scar from the burn. If a man or a woman has a sore on the head or on the beard, you know, you could get one on the beard, the area of the beard, obviously. Then the priest shall examine the sore, and indeed, if it appears deeper than the skin, and there is in it thin yellow hair, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a scaly leprosy of the head and the beard. But if the priest examines the scaly sore, and indeed it does not appear deeper than the skin, then there is no there. And there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the scale 7 days. And on the seventh day, the priest shall examine the sore, and indeed, if the scale has not spread, and there is no yellow hair in it, and the scale does not appear deeper than the skin, he shall shave himself, but the scale he shall not shave, and the priest shall isolate the one who has the scale another 7 days. And on the seventh day, the priest shall examine the scale, and indeed, if the scale has no spread over the skin and does not appear deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scale should at all spread over the skin after the cleansing, then the priest shall examine him, and indeed, if the scale has spread over the skin, the priest need not seek for yellow hair. He is unclean. But if the scale appears to be at a standstill, there is black hair growing up in it, the scale has healed, he is clean, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It's all pretty disgusting reading, isn't it? It's all pretty gross. I don't want to say that the Word of God is disgusting, but and we understand the necessity for what they were doing, but examining the hairs inside of sores and scales and boils and gross. Verse 38. If a man or woman has bright spots of skin on the body, especially white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and indeed, if the bright spots of the skin of the body are dull white, it is a white spot that grows on the skin. He is clean. In other words, it's healing. And from the man whose hair has fallen from his head, he is bald, but he is clean. He whose hair has fallen from the forehead, he is bald of the forehead, and he is clean. Why are you guys laughing? I don't get it. I don't understand. And if there is on the bald head, a bald forehead, a reddish white sore, it is leprosy breaking out on the bald head and the bald forehead. Then the priest shall examine it, and indeed, if the swelling of the sore is reddish white and the bald head on it is bald, a forehead, as the skin appears to the leprosy, the skin of the body. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean, his sores on his head. Now, the leper of whom the sore in his clothes shall be torn. So now we come to the spot where the guy's, you know, now pronounces a leper. And he is going to be isolated from the rest of the people. He's going to be made to live outside of the camp. His life is going to forever change. So this leprous man, verse 44, he is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. And that must have been an awful, horrible moment when the priest finally says, "You are now unclean." Now, the leper of whom the sore in his clothes, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, "Unclean, unclean." So everywhere that the leper would go, he would cover up his mouth and he would cry, "Unclean, unclean." He shall be unclean all the days he has the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp. Now, again, for them, there was no known cure for leprosy. Later on in the law, they're told that they could not touch a leper. A leper was to stay away and warn people. There are rabbis that wrote of throwing rocks at lepers. If lepers got too close, they would pick up rocks and they would throw them. A leper approached Jesus. Jesus reached out and touched the leper. Some said by breaking the law. But at the moment that he touched the leper was clean. Jesus didn't break the law because he touched him and cleansed him. Jesus touches the sin-sick soul and cleanses it as well. There's no cure for sin. We are unclean. And just as the leper was sent outside of the gates of the city, if we take our sin with us into eternity, we will be cast out of heaven. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there are that find it, the Bible says. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there are that find it. So we must shun off that sin and find the forgiveness that Jesus brings. The only way for us to be healed of the leprosy of the soul, of sin, is to be touched by Christ. Now, verses 47 through 49 speak of leprosy in the garments. And then in chapter 14, we get to leprosy that is in the house. We get about the clean cleansing of the leper, and then we get the leprosy that is in the house. So talks about garments in verse 47. Also, if the garment has a leprosy, a leprous plague in it. Now, I don't know what the plague of leprosy in garments would be, whether it is a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it is a warp or a woof of linen or wool. Now, I looked up warp or woof, and it is weaven or web. So I don't know why they didn't use the words woven or web, whether it is woven or web. But the ESV does it as well, where they use these two words. Whether in leather or in anything made with leather, and if the plague is greenish or reddish. If you've got something greenish or reddish growing on your clothes, that's probably a pretty good sign just to get rid of them. Whether it is the warp or the woof, and anything made by leather, it is a leprous plague. It is a leprous plague and shall be shown to the priest. The priest shall examine the plague and isolate that which has plague for 7 days. And they shall examine the plague on the 7th day. And if the plague has spread to the garment, either the warp or the woof, in the leather or anything made of leather, the plague, it is an active leprosy. It is unclean. Therefore, burn that garment in which is the plague, whether warp or woof, in wool or linen or anything leather, in any active leprosy or garment shall be burned with fire. But if the priest examines it, and indeed the plague has not spread in the garment, either in the warp or the woof, and all and anything made with leather, the priest shall command that they wash the thing in which is the plague, and they shall isolate it another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine the plague after it has been washed. And indeed, if the plague has not changed its color, though the plague has not spread, it is unclean. And you shall burn it with fire. It continues eating away, whether the damage is outside or inside. If the priest examines it, and indeed the plague has faded after washing it, when he shall tear it out of the garment, whether out of the warp or out of the warp, and out of the leather, But if it appears again in the garment, whether the warp or in the wharf, or in anything made by leather, it is spreading plague. You shall burn with fire, in which is the plague. And if you wash the garment, whether by warp or wharf, of whatever is made by the leather, this is where, when you're reading through the Bible, you just go, okay, I'm done with Leviticus. You read through it, you're like, what does this mean to me, the warp or the wharf? If the plague has disappeared from it, then you shall wash the second time, and it shall be clean. This is the law of the leprous plague, of the garment, of the woolen, of the linen, either by warp or wharf. We're done with that, done with it for another 12 years. Good. Of anything made leather, it pronounces it clean and pronounces it unclean. A lot of guys, when they teach through the Bible, if there's an area that gives an explanation that kind of goes on like that, they'll go, well, here's what it says, and then they'll move on to the next section. I made a commitment a while ago that I want to read the whole Bible. I want to cover it line by line, verse by verse. When I get in a section like that, I'm thinking about maybe changing my mind. And just, you know, just talking about what's in there and then moving along. One thing you can do is you can cover a whole lot more territory when you do that. All right, I'm going to go into chapter 14 now, which chapter 14 begins with the cleansing of the leper, which must have been a tremendous amount of hope for all of those that had been given leprosy, that they would go back and read this section and know that there were people who were going to be healed of leprosy. When Jesus touched the man with leprosy, you remember he said, go and show yourself to the priests and do what he says. Well, this is what the priest would tell him to do. That's what we begin to read now in chapter 14. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper. Notice that he didn't go to the priest, but he went and called for the priest, and the priest came out of the camp to where the leper was, because the leper couldn't go in, because he was still a leper, even though he was cleansed. Then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command the one that one of the birds be killed in the earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood, and the scarlet thread and the hyssop, and dip them, the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Now these sacrifices we already know speak of Jesus. The five sacrifices we found early on in the book of Leviticus all speak of Christ. Now this is unique. The leper is now determined clean. He brings two birds. They kill one bird. They drain the blood of that bird out. They take the living bird. They dip it in the blood with these other things, the scarlet thread and all those. They sprinkle with this bird, and then they let the bird go. And the bird flies away. And we have a good picture of the death and resurrection of Jesus. There are two parts that make up our salvation. It is his death upon the cross, by which the justice of God has been satisfied. It is the death of that sacrifice that Jesus gave, that this would speak of, that allows our sins to be forgiven. But Jesus said that he would come and abide in us, so he couldn't remain dead. He had to come back to life. And we serve a risen Lord. And so that bird flying away, flapping, and the blood flying as the bird flew away would represent the resurrection of Jesus, by which now Jesus takes up place inside of us, and we belong to him, and he is in us, and we are in him. And now we are declared clean, even though the leprosy of the soul has been in all of us. So it says then in verse 8, and he who is cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all of his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. Almost looking like a symbol of a rebirth, of a new start. This guy now has been clean, and he washes all of his clothes. He shaves off all of his hair. After that, he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside of his tent for 7 days. But on the seventh day, he shall shave all of his hair off. This is again of his head and his beard and his eyebrows. And all of his hair shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day, he shall take two male lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb, the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of flour mixed with oil and grain offering, and one log of oil. Then the priest who makes him clean shall present to the man who is to be clean these things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest shall take one male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering and the log of oil and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. And as the sin offering is the priest, so the trespass offering is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood from the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who has been cleansed, and the thumb of the right hand, and of the big toe of the right foot. Now, the only other place that we find this is earlier in Leviticus, where the priests are being consecrated. So now this man is now going through the same ceremony that the priest went through to be consecrated, so that the leprous man is a consecrated man. His what he hears, what he does, and where he goes. When you and I commit our lives to Christ, we are consecrated. We are not our own. We are bought with a price, the Bible says. And we deny ourselves and we pick up our cross and we follow him. And just as this leprous is now consecrated, this leper is consecrated to God. So when our sin is forgiven, we are consecrated for him. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his and over his left hand. Then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is on his left hand, and he shall sprinkle some of the oil on the with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil in his hand, the priest shall put some on the tip of his right ear of him who is cleansed, and the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, the blood of the trespass offering. Now, the picture is being complete here. Oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so, in the Old Testament, there were 4 people who were anointed with oil. There were the priests who were anointed with oil. When they came to the temple, they were washed, they were put in their clothes, and then they took the oil, the anointing oil, and they anointed them. The anointing oil was a sign of them being empowered to do the work that God has called them to do. People want to talk about anointing today as if it's something that is rare, as if it's something that certain people have the anointing. Nah. Have you got the anointing of God? There's this weird thing that some do where they go and they lay on people's graves who have died because they believe that they can get their anointing from them. They can take their anointing. So they go to D.L. Moody's grave, and they go to F.B. Meyer's grave, and they go to Spurgeon's grave. They go to Christian's graves and lay down to try to steal the anointing from them. All I've got to say is wacko, about as wacko as you can get. And it's doctrines like that that make us stay close to the Bible. Otherwise, we get doing weird things. Well, all of us are anointed who have been given the Holy Spirit. In the last days, the Bible says, God's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And you have been anointed by God to do what God has called you to do. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, and tarry in Jerusalem, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, he's anointing you, he's empowering you to go out and be a witness for him. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He comes into our lives, he fills us, he anoints us. We are anointed. I read a blog this last week where the guy said, you know, these pastors are not anointed. Not only is he wrong that pastors are not anointed, pastors are anointed, but everybody's anointed. I would agree with him if he said, pastors are not anointed in any special way that people aren't. That's true. We're all in it the same. So kings were anointed, prophets were anointed. Where did I start off with? Priests, didn't I? Priests are anointed for the work God's called them to do. And then prophets were anointed. You remember that Elijah took oil and anointed Elisha. And then kings were anointed. Samuel anointed Saul, the first king of Israel. And then he went and he anointed David, who was the second king of Israel. And they were anointed for the position that God had given them. And the fourth group are lepers. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things doesn't belong. Prophet, priest, king, leper. Isn't that amazing? So what's God saying? He's saying that not only does the blood of the Lamb consecrate us for the call that God has given us to be used by Him, but that once our leprosy, the sin-sick soul, is healed and the spiritual leprosy is gone, we are anointed with the Holy Spirit and we are empowered by God and we are sent out to be the light and the salt. We are set out to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We are to go out and do the work that God's called us to do because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Just as this man was cleansed and anointed with oil. Now we pick it up in verse 17. Actually, I think it's 18, isn't it? The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand shall be put on the head of him who is cleansed. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanliness. Afterwards, he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. Now, that's the consecration offering, right? So the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. It reminds us of earlier when we're talking about the sin offering, when he says, and the priest shall make atonement for him through the death of the sacrifices, and he shall be forgiven. But now he says, he'll make sacrifices, and he shall be clean. But if the poor cannot afford it, then he shall take one of the male lambs, the trespass offering, to be waived, and make atonement for him. 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with the grain offering of oil, and 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to afford. One shall be a sin offering, and the other shall be a burnt offering. And I love that in Leviticus, you don't have to have money to be able to serve God. If you've got money, there's a certain level that you give to him. If you don't have it, there's a certain level that you give to him so that everyone can approach him. There's no one who can't. He shall bring to the priest on the 8th day of his cleansing to the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering, the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord and shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering. This is another one of those places where I would have said, if we didn't read it verse for verse, this is they're doing exactly what they did before just with, you know, stuff from poor people. But let's read it instead. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it on the tip of the ear of him who is cleansed and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour some of the oil in the palm of his left hand. Then the priest shall sprinkle his right finger some of the oil that is on the left hand 7 times before the Lord. And the priest shall put some of the oil that is in the hand of the tip of the right ear on him who is cleansed, and the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the place of the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hands he shall put on the head of him who is cleansed to make atonement before the Lord. And he shall offer one of the turtle doves and the young pigeons, such as is offered, such as he is able to afford, the one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering. With the grain offering, so the priest shall make atonement for him, and he will be cleansed before the Lord. This is the law for the one that had a leprous sore, who cannot afford the usual cleansing. So the cleansing has this tremendous picture of forgiveness. It goes back to the very sacrifices that were given and has the cleansing the same way that you and I are cleansed from sin. I have 8 minutes. We're going to look at leprosy in the house. We're going to finish it up. Again, like clothes, the leprosy could be in the clothes. It never says that the leprosy that was on the body is the same leprosy in the clothes or the same leprosy in the house. It just means that the clothes were infected by something and that a house is infected by something. Whether this is a fungus, whether this is a mold, whether this is some kind of a growth that was in that part of the world in that time that isn't around today, or whether there are houses in different parts of the world that can get growths of funguses and molds or other kind of growths that are in them, is all argued. People will argue about anything. What we do know is that their houses could get infected even as ours do. The last thing that you want is mold, right? Because it's expensive. The last thing you want is some kind of fungus to break out in your house. So this is what you do, what you did for them, if there was some kind of growth in your house. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when you have come into the land of Canaan, remember they're wandering in the wilderness now, they've been given the law now, they're going to wander for 40 years, they don't know that yet, they're going to get there, and then they're going to reject what God wants to do and wander for 40 years. But when you finally come into the land of Canaan, which I gave to you as a possession, and I put the leprous plague in the house in the land of your possession. And note the way that that is worded. And I put the leprous plague in your house. Why would God put a leprous plague in people's homes? Remember that God had told them, if you keep all my commandments, then the diseases of these people will not come upon you. They don't keep the commandments. And so, because they don't keep them, there are certain things that God does, because his people are not following him. And he who owns the house comes and tells the priest, saying, it seems to me that there is some plague in my house. It's that big green spot on the wall. It's that big red spot on the wall. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest goes in to examine the plague. And all that is in the house may not be made unclean, so that everything isn't made unclean. And afterwards, the priest shall go in and examine the house. And he shall examine the plague. And indeed, if the plague is on the walls of the house, which is ingrained, streaks greenish or reddish, which appears to be deep in the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house and run, no, to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again on the seventh day and look, and indeed, it is a plague has spread on the walls of the house. Then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which is the plague, and they shall cast them into an unclean place outside of the city. So they didn't condemn the whole house. They just tore out the section of the wall that had the whatever it was, the leprosy. Verse 41, and he shall cause the house to be scraped inside all around, and the dust shall be scraped off, shall pour out of the unclean place outside of the city. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of these stones, and shall take other mortar and plaster in the house. Now if the plague comes back and breaks out of the house after he has taken away the stones, after he has scraped the house and after the plaster, then the priest shall come and look, and indeed if the plague has spread in the house, it is active leprosy and the house is unclean, and he shall break down the house. So they didn't have bulldozers or wrecking balls in those days, so they just tear down the house, its stones, its timber, and all of the plaster in the house, and it shall be carried outside of the city in an unclean place. Moreover, he who goes into the house at all while it is shut up shall be unclean until evening. And if he lies down in the house, he shall wash his clothes. That he eats in the house shall wash his clothes. But if the priest comes and examines it, and indeed the plague has not spread on the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. Look at that. A house can get plastered too. And he shall take the cleansing of the house, the two birds, cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop, and he shall kill one of the birds in the earthen vessels over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood of hyssop, the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird in the running water, and sprinkle the house 7 times. He shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and the running water, and the living bird, and the cedar wood, and the hyssop of scarlet. Then he shall let the living bird loose outside of the city, and open a field to make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law of the leprous sore and scale, the leprosy of a garment and a house, for the swelling of a scab and a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. Now, for you it's done. For me, I got to teach it one more time. I could go to the other campus, teach these 2 chapters again. Think about this. The leprosy could be in your body. The leprosy could be in your clothes. And the leprosy could be in your house. Everything we have is to belong to God. Our bodies are His, 1 Corinthians 6 tells us, and they are for Him. Our clothes have been given to us that we might bring glory to God in all that we do, and our houses belong to the Lord as well. All of those could have leprosy in them. We could sin in our bodies. We could sin while we're in our clothes. We could sin while we're in our houses, but we are to take everything and have them cleansed. Where we give everything that we have to God and say, "This is yours, and I want to live for you in holiness and in purity." That we have the forgiveness of Jesus, which is a picture of the sacrifices. He declares us to be clean. He smears the blood on our ears, on our hands, and on our feet. So everything we hear, everything we do, and everywhere we go is consecrated by God. He anoints us with oil and fills us with the Holy Spirit. And He sends us back into the community that people can see us, even shaved and born again, a total transformation. You would know. You'd see a guy walking through without eyebrows, and you'd go, "That guy was a leper. Shaved his head and his eyebrows and his beard. It's not a lick of hair on him." One guy said, as hairless as a grape. I never thought about that particular analogy, but true. So that now it's like he's been born again. It's like he's been given a brand new start. Like everything starts again. And so it has been with us when we come to Christ. There is such a complete and total transformation that the leprosy of our soul is done away with, and we now can enter into the presence of the Lord and represent Him to a world that is perishing, anointed, consecrated, to do the work that God's called us to do. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we're done with chapters 13 and 14 in the book of Leviticus. And Lord, we are so appreciative of the comparison of leprosy and sin, that we are so repulsed by leprosy. Help us to be as repulsed of sin in our lives. And even as leprosy deforms and twists and eats away the body, so sin in our lives will deform us and twist us and eat us away. We will not be whom you want us to be if there is that sin in us. So Lord, help us to search for righteousness, to live in purity, to desire holiness. And Lord, we come to you and we ask for help, because the very things we don't want to do are the very things we end up doing, and the things that we don't want to do are the things we want to do, we don't do. And like Paul, who called himself a wretched man, we feel wretched. And we're sorry that we failed you. And we feel like at times you couldn't possibly love us because of all of our failures. And yet you demonstrated your love for us by dying on the cross. Help us to walk with you in that love and to stay close with you. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, you've been praying for people to invite to Resurrection Celebration. There are invitations that are out on the at the Visitor Center. Pick them up there. Remember to give invitations. I've invited quite a few people to come out. And one guy that I invited completely ignored me. I said, "Hey, listen, we've got an Easter service down at the TCC. A group called Newsboys is going to be there."